From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Party of Unity attacks a sitting senator, and state's attorneys general take a stand against federal overreach. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. Well, we're just over a week into Joe Biden's term as president, and his push for unity seems to have fallen on deaf ears, as big tech and corporate monopolies team up to shut down speech they don't like. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about it is a man in the middle of his own fight with cancel culture, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So you heard the clip, Joy Reid, MSNBC, calling for you to resign. Why is the left targeting Josh Hawley?
Because I won't bow down to their mob. You know, she's actually, Tony, I have to say, she sounds moderate compared to much of what's coming from the left. They've called for Ted Cruz and me and other members of Congress to be expelled. They've attempted to file ethics proceedings against us, abusing the ethics process. Of course, they're in the midst of a sham impeachment trial against a private citizen, the former president. It is an unbelievable attempt to silence all opposition, to silence anyone who would disagree with them. And it is a threat, Tony, to our democracy. I mean, you are exactly right in your comments. This is a threat to open democratic debate. They don't want unity. They want control. They want total control, and that's what they're trying to get. And I'm not going to go along with it.
Yeah, I mean, just in playing that clip regarding, in fact, I want to play that clip again of Biden yesterday because I want you to respond to this where he calls for unity. So, Bobby, play the clip of Joe Biden yesterday in his executive order.
I'm rescinding the previous administration's harmful ban on diversity and sensitivity training and abolish the offensive counterfactual 1776 commission. Unity and healing must begin with understanding and truth, not ignorance and lies.
I would agree with the latter part of his statement, but I certainly can't find that in what he has to offer.
Well, and this, the unity and healing that he is talking about, you have these Democrats in Congress and the media left-wing mob, it is total control of political discourse. What they want is everyone who disagrees with them to shut up, be silenced, be expelled, go away. That includes, Tony, about 75 million American voters. That's half the country, approximately, right, who they want to say that basically it's illegitimate, that their votes are illegitimate, that they should repent of ever supporting anybody but the Democrats. This is crazy stuff, and I, for one, am not going to be cowed by the mob. I am not going to be told what to think or do or say by the mob, and I'm going to continue to represent the people of my state without fear or favor to anybody.
Senator, the reality is, in my view, I think they were waiting for the moment to launch this effort, and I think January the 6th gave them a cover of legitimacy to go after and to attack every conservative voice in this country. Now, I think you've long been on their list. They just haven't had the opportunity to come after you because when you were Attorney General of Missouri, you were looking into what big tech was doing. You were on this before most were, understanding where this was leading.
Well, I've gone after the big tech corporations. I've gone after the big multinationals who are now in hock with the left, the folks who sent our jobs away at the same time that they have tried to suppress speech, that they've tried to foist a woke social agenda on the country. And just to go back to something you said a moment ago, Tony, which I think is so important, what we're seeing here is an unprecedented alliance between these big monopoly corporations and the left wing. We're seeing an unprecedented alliance that seeks to entrench the power of these modern day oligarchs, these modern day robber barons, and at the same time to silence the views of ordinary Americans and dissenting political voices. I don't know that we've ever seen quite this much concentrated power in American history, concentrated in so few hands in the corporate chieftains and in the left.
Right.
And it's very, very dangerous. And we're going to have to stand up and graciously but firmly oppose it in the name of democracy, the First Amendment, and the Constitution.
Absolutely. Senator, I'm convinced that this is not going to go away. It's not going to go away on its own. We can't just, oh, okay, well, we'll be nice and we'll play by your rules. Their rules are such that they want to squash any resistance. They want complete and total control. If we want to keep our freedoms, I see the only way to keep them is to use them and use them with great effect in these days in which we're living.
That's exactly right. You know, if the Democrats and the left were serious about unity, they would call us to unify around one of the principal bedrock freedoms that all Americans believe in, the First Amendment, the right to freedom of speech, the right to freedom of worship, the right to free and open debate. But they're doing just the opposite, just the opposite. And it is a dangerous, dangerous time in this country. And those of us who believe in the Constitution, those of us who believe in free speech, from whatever political persuasion, Tony, whether you say I'm a conservative as I am, or you say, no, I'm more of a liberal, it doesn't matter. If you believe in the First Amendment, free speech, and democracy, this is the time to stand up and say, wait a minute, we've got to preserve those values. We've got to stand up for the right to be heard. We have got to not bow down to the mob.
Yes. You know, I've watched this progression now. You know, I've been here almost 20 years. So I've watched this progression since the election of Barack Obama, where we used to debate these issues. And we can have a good debate. I remember, you know, kind of classic liberals of, you know, Chris Matthews on Hardball. We would debate the issues, and you could debate the issues. But then after the election of Barack Obama, they didn't want to debate the issues. And because they didn't have the foundation to stand on, and that's what we see here, they want no one to challenge the direction they're taking this nation because it is unsupportable. You cannot support logically, rationally, with the evidence what they are doing. So what do? They silence the opposition. The question is, Senator, where do we go from here?
Well, I think what we've got to do is we've got to insist on the right of Americans of all political persuasions to be heard, the right to participate in open democratic debate. We've got to resist this idea that if you hold a different opinion or if you represent a part of the country that doesn't agree with the latest agenda, radical agenda of the ruling class, that you can be silenced. And I think, Tony, we've got to go back to the basic things that unite all Americans, the First Amendment, the principle of democracy, though that's where we've got to take our stand.
And have civil debate. I mean, you can disagree. And I mean, when I was first elected 25 years ago, we debated issues, and then we would go have lunch. And we would sit down and we would talk, and we had friends on both sides of the aisle. But this has become such that when you repress people and do not allow them to talk, what happens is you foster not unity, but greater division and anger, and this is going to lead to a very, very dangerous outcome for our country.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this is why it's so important that there be open democratic debate, and it's why the lies of the left wing, and they are lies, you know, lies saying that if you wanted to talk about election integrity, as Ted Cruz and I did, and 140 House members, other senators, if you want to talk about election integrity on the floor of the Senate, that's the same thing as inciting violence.
Right.
That's the same thing as being a criminal rioter. I tell you, that is destructive to the very idea of democracy. That says there can be no debate. There can be no conversation. If I disagree with you, I'll try to criminalize you. That's where the left-wing mob is headed.
You're handling that, and that's what's coming at you. You're inciting. You're all of these different things. You're a racist. You're everything. So, but most Americans who just want to get along, they want to raise their kids, they want to take them to soccer practice, they want to come home, they want to have dinner together. And so they're hesitant. They don't know how to deal with these labels that are thrown on them, that just because they say they like President Trump, they're a racist, they're a white supremacist. So how do they deal with that?
Well, I think that, first of all, we've got to stand firm and be clear and not buy into the media lies. I mean, I've talked to so many people in Missouri, Tony, small business folks who contributed to Republicans or maybe contributed to a church now that say, oh, my gosh, that church is, you know, it's anti this or that, and therefore you should be boycotted. You should be put on a blacklist. That is the real danger here. I mean, when they go after people like Ted Cruz and me, it's not really about us. It's about the people we represent.
Right.
And it's about ultimately the 75 million Americans who took a different view in this last election, and they now want to crush all of that dissent and squelch that kind of speech. So I just think for folks out there, the only way that the left-wing mob wins is if we bow down to them and we're afraid. We cannot be afraid. This is the time to graciously but firmly stand and say, no, this is my view. I'm protected by the First Amendment. I'm going to make it clear, and I'm not going to bow down.
Well, Josh Hawley, I want to thank you for not only representing the millions of voters in Missouri, but I want to thank you for representing conservatives across the country and those who value our First Amendment freedom of speech, that you are not going silent. In fact, you're cranking up the volume. I'm all for that. Josh Hawley, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can find out more about Josh Hawley when you visit tonyperkins.com. And in an effort to make sure we stay connected with you, should big tech decide to take down any of our platforms, we encourage you to see the different ways that you can engage with FRC over at our website. Again, that's tonyperkins.com.
Every Wednesday, FRC and FRC Action President Tony Perkins hosts the Pray, Vote, Stand broadcast to equip you to pray, vote, and stand for biblical truth. This weekly half-hour program features experts, elected leaders, and Christian leaders who help you see through the fog that's being created by the biased lenses of the mainstream media. To watch the broadcasts, visit PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday of this week, Tony Perkins had a chance to talk with Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost about a disturbing event that happened late last week. Here's Tony Perkins as he sets the stage for his conversation with Dave Yost.
Last Friday, on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Bishop Robert Brennan was celebrating a Respect Life Mass in Columbus, Ohio, when pro-abortion activists stormed into the church and interrupted the Mass. Now, interestingly enough, there was a 1994 federal law, and I remember this because I was a reporter back at that time, covering Operation Rescue. They were big at that time. They were having these blockades out in front of abortion clinics. So Congress passed a bill called FACE. It was the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. And it was designed to shut down the pro-life demonstrators by making it a federal crime to block the entrances to an abortion clinic. Now, in the process of that bill passing, I think it was Orrin Hatch of Utah, who's now retired, a senator, who amended it to add places of worship, making what happened on Friday in Columbus a federal offense. The question is, will they be charged with a crime? Joining me now to talk about what transpired and what it could mean for the safety and sanctity of church services going forward is the Ohio Attorney General, Dave Yost. General Yost, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you. Thanks for the invite.
So I know that we're talking a federal crime here, but I'm sure there were local laws that were violated there. Do you know what the status is of whether or not there's going to be criminal charges in this case there in Columbus?
That falls under the city attorney of Columbus, and I've been in discussions with him. He hasn't received the investigative package from the police department yet. But he knows that I'm interested in the case. The interesting thing here to me is the only real charge here. There may be a couple of legal theories to get a more serious charge, but the main charge would be a fourth degree misdemeanor, only punishable by maximum 30 days in jail, called disrupting a lawful meeting. Surprisingly, California. Of all places, has a much better law that protects any religious service from being disrupted. And it's a first-degree misdemeanor, up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. So I've already had some discussions here in Ohio with legislators that maybe we ought to import that California law into Ohio.
a good idea, because I think this is something we're going to see more of. You know, what happened on January the 6th here was despicable, and what happened at the Capitol. And there are those that are accusing conservatives of being responsible for that, for their rhetoric and for their speeches. Well, clearly, when you look at what these demonstrators were saying inside of this church, in fact, talking about repealing Hyde, which is the same thing that Nancy Pelosi and her party are working for on Capitol Hill, I mean, I would expect that we're going to see more of this disrespecting of churches with this pro-abortion, anti-religious freedom message.
You know, the mass was actually going on when they burst in. This wasn't the beginning or the end of the thing, the mass, and it didn't happen outside the cathedral. They actually pushed past security and stormed the cathedral and chanted in the middle of it, 2468, your church preaches hate. It's so disrespectful. You mentioned the act from 1994, a little known provision. I don't know that it's ever been used in this way.
It has not.
The state attorney general has the right to go, not to file criminal charges, but to bring a civil lawsuit and seek an injunction against people that violate the disruption provisions of that law. And we're looking at that right now, Tony. We may be taking some legal action under that provision.
Well, General Yost, I think you would be the first, because I don't think the act has ever been utilized in the protection of religious freedom as it is included in this. In fact, I mean, the U.S. Attorney General does have the authority to institute criminal charges. In fact, they're quite significant here. But I think this would go a long way in shutting down this targeting of religious services for this type of disruption. I mean, I don't think we can tolerate this.
Well, one of the cool things about the civil action is that it allows the federal court to impose what we call an injunction or a court order that says you may not do a certain thing. And taking a page out of the Operation Rescue litigation, I think it's very possible that we could ask for and potentially win from a federal court an injunction or an order that says not only do you have to stay away from St. Joseph's, but you're not allowed to protest, you know, closer than 100 feet of on the outside of any house of worship, so that we send a message that sacred places are sacred. This is the reason why 1 Timothy 2:2 tells us to pray for those in authority so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness.
Couldn't have said it better myself. General Yost, I want to thank you not only for joining us today, but thank you for already being on top of this. And I would love to talk with you more once you decide what action to take, because if you're the first attorney general to take action on this statute, I want to talk about it here on Washington Watch.
Let's talk about it again.
All right. Attorney General Dave Yost of Ohio, the great Buckeye State. All right, coming up next, more state attorneys general in the action. Good news, okay? 6 state attorneys general have warned President Biden of overreach, and that if they overreach, they're going to be there. We're going to talk with one of those next. Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge is here. Don't go away. Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold.
Attention university students, are you looking to be equipped as a Christian leader and to influence the culture from a biblical worldview? Join us at Family Research Council for our internship program. With a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training, you will grow personally and professionally. This paid 12 to 15 week program is designed to give you real world experience and to prepare you for wherever God calls you. Apply today at frc.org/internships.
This is Washington Watch, and I am Tony Perkins, and I am glad that you are with us today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, a coalition of state attorneys general yesterday sent a letter to President Joe Biden reminding him that any potentially unconstitutional executive actions or federal overreach will not go unchallenged. You know, a lot of you have been asking about this. You know, look, every time the president did something, there were those that were suing to try to stop him. In fact, during President Trump's administration, he was sued 157 times in cases where states were initial plaintiffs trying to stop things he was doing. Well, in this particular case, we've already seen, as I told you, President Trump in his first week did 4 executive orders, and the media criticized him. Joe Biden has done at least 22. I'm having a hard time keeping up with him. At least 22 in his first week. In fact, at the end of 100 days, you know, that's what they count the first 100 days in office. Donald Trump had only done 36. Joe Biden will probably be there by next week. Well, joining me now is one of these attorney generals that was a part of this letter warning the president, if you step too far, we're going to be here. Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge. General Rutledge, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Tony. Pleasure to be on with you again today.
So what prompted this action by you and some of your colleagues?
I tell you what, these executive orders are flying off President Joe Biden's desk, kind of like when you flip the lights on in an old broke-down house and you see those roaches scatter. I mean, they are just flying off his desk. As fast as those aides, you know, that he has put in place are just putting them in front of him, and he's having to ask, what is this? Well, just sign it, sir. And that's not good enough for the American people. It's not good enough for the people of Arkansas. And we are seeing President Biden already rolling back some of the incredible policies that former President Trump put in place.
Right. And there's a process. Now, we know that, you know, an executive order can be overturned by an executive order, but there's rules in place, administrative policies that govern how these things are done. And that was a part, I think, of what you communicated to him is that, look, we're not only looking at the substance of it and whether it's an overreach constitutionally, but also that it went by the proper procedure, and this is a lawful order.
Exactly. And that, you know, one thing that we saw during President Obama's term is that this, you know, governing with a pen. And we're unfortunately seeing it again now. And, you know, we are tersely reminding this president and his administration that the states are not going to sit back and have their rights trampled on.
Any one of these 22, 23 executive orders out there so far that you're looking at closely?
Well, some of them already that the president, with regard to the Keystone Pipeline, I mean, that hurt jobs here in Arkansas, other states. With regard to women's health, AKA the pro-abortion executive order,
right,
that they put forth today, federal money to Planned Parenthood, the rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, all of these things, these executive orders are giving us grave concern, particularly because, again, they're just with a stroke of a pen wiping out policies that were put in place under the previous administration.
So, General Rutledge, how can some of our listeners, I mean, we have listeners in 48 states, actually all 50 states across the country. How can we, how can they be helpful in this, maybe enlisting the support of other Republican attorneys general to step up and stand with you guys?
Absolutely. You know, we had half a dozen attorneys general who signed this letter, but I can assure you we have dozens of attorneys general who are paying attention to these issues. And even the my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, they need to have their feet held to the fire that if they are not standing up and supporting their own states' rights against this administration, if they're being trampled on. We, you know, there was a health care executive order today with regard to reviewing the health care waivers. This has to do with the expansion of Medicaid. Arkansas did sort of a hybrid, so we didn't outright say no back in the day when it was passed, or we didn't outright say yes, we did a hybrid. But those sort of executive orders impact how we are able to govern our own states. And that's why, you know, I encourage folks, again, even if you're in a state such as California or Illinois with a Democratic attorney general, you need to hold their feet to the fire. And certainly if you have a Republican attorney general, I can assure you those Republican attorneys general are going to care about the rule of law. The attorney general of West Virginia who led this letter, Patrick Morrissey, great friend, but we also had the AGs of Indiana, Mississippi, Montana, and Texas on this letter to the president.
I got to talk with mine. I got to ask where Jeff Landry was at. He should have been on that letter.
And you've got a great attorney general in Jeff Landry. And so, Jeff has been a real leader, and he's a great friend, and he and I work very closely together on a number of issues. And so it may have just been that he had other fish to fry, you know, or it may have passed.
Or gators to hunt.
That's right. I've been down there hunting gators with Jeff, and it's a fun time. But y'all got plenty of them.
All right. Attorney General Leslie Rutledge, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, encouraging you to pray for our nation. I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.